Well, 2 weeks ago today, I was on the western side of Romania. And we were there with one or two other brothers from the UK who wanted to have some first-hand experience and knowledge of what God was doing in that land in these days. It was a day of great contrast. The Sunday morning meeting was in a large city church with 3,000 people gathered there. A church that God has blessed and become the center of witness and evangelism for much of Romania. In fact, the premises there, that's one of the locations where we hold one of those mission schools that I was talking about. On the Saturday, I met with the students from the mission school to see how things were going. They come to the end of 2 years of study, part-time, lay training, study. And God willing, I'll be with them in November as they complete their course. And then in the afternoon, we went out to a village, about 2 hours by car. And the great joy there was to see the pastor again, because he was one of those who met in one of the groups in the 1980s, when things had to be unofficial. And there was Brother Theo, and now he's pastoring that church. About 100 people gathered there. Typical village church, brass band, lovely choir, and a great time as we gathered there. And then we went on for 7 o'clock to another village where a church has recently been planted and established, but are still meeting in a home. And about 40 people crowded into that home that evening for their Sunday evening service from 7 o'clock till 9. So as you can imagine, that was a very interesting Sunday. But it reminded me, because we went through a particular town on the way that afternoon, and my mind went back a few years to one occasion. We were meeting with a brother there who was a medical doctor, but also a preacher of the Word of God. And in those days under communism, he was given the alternative. Either he disassociated himself with the church and with preaching, or he lost his practice. In fact, he was a specialist in a hospital there. And of course, the choice was no choice for Nick, because he knew what God had called him to do. And so he continued to preach, and he lost his job. But he had such an expertise and specialism, after about 3 months, the official was knocking on his door and saying, "Would you please consider coming back to the hospital, because we can't really do without you." So the Lord honoured him, as the Lord does in situations like that. But I remember on one occasion when Nick was under particular pressure, and his family. His two teenage children under pressure at school because of their Christian witness. Nick himself being watched and followed around and harassed generally. And we had met him out of town, because to go to his home would have probably brought him more trouble, receiving Western visitors there. And as we talked and Nick shared of the situation and asking for prayer, I remember saying to him, and when we drove through that town 2 weeks ago, it brought it all flooding back. You'll forgive me for reminiscing. But it was a very precious moment. I said to Nick, "Nick, do tell us please, how can we best stand with you as brothers and sisters in Christ in the West? How can we really stand in fellowship with you so that God's kingdom might be extended, so that you might be helped and encouraged and blessed?" He said a very simple thing. He said, "Brother Trevor, if we stand at the foot of the cross, and you stand at the foot of the cross, then the Lord will bring us together in the way that He wants for the continuance of the spread of the gospel." And I've never forgotten that. And I've asked myself on more than one occasion, well, we often use this term, coming to the foot of the cross. It's a term we use in Christian circles. We talk about coming to the cross of Christ. But I've asked myself on more than one occasion, what does that really mean for you and for me? What did it really mean for Nick? What does it really mean for us today, as it did then, if we're going to know and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what better to go to that passage in John's Gospel, chapter 19, where we see exactly this happening. We see people coming to the foot of the cross. Can I read those verses again, please, from verse 25 of John 19, or some of the verses at least. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. I want you to notice, first of all, what our Lord saw from the cross that day. The scene is very familiar to most of us, I'm sure. As the Lord looked down from the cross, where he was put by God's appointment to redeem sinful men and women like you and I, that lovely hymn that is so simple yet so profound, "In my place condemned he stood, or there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin." And there the Lord was that day on the cross. We remember this later on in these symbols, these elements, this preached message to us from the wine and the bread. But as our Lord looked down that day, he saw around him, first of all, that hostile environment and that hostile world. Personified in a hostile crowd that had cried, "Crucify him, away with him." Personified in a world that had rejected him, you remember, and his message. When the Lord began his earthly ministry in Galilee, there was that great following. And then as people began to understand something of the implications of what the Lord was saying, there was a great desertion from him, a great rejection. And you remember how prior to the cross, even those so near to him had fled, and he had been left rejected even by those who claimed to own him and know him as their Lord. There were those who were at the cross that day who were hostile because of their indifference. You read earlier in this chapter how the soldiers were simply gambling for his garments. The Lord looked down that day and he saw this hostile world all around. You remember we are told in Scripture that there were those who passed by wagging their heads and saying, "King of kings, King of the Jews, he can't even save himself. Why doesn't he come from the cross?" And there was that sort of scorn and hostility poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we live in that same world today. We live in that same hostile world, personified in all sorts of ways. Maybe one of the most difficult things that hostility shows itself today is in the indifference we find around us to the work and the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In some ways, that is what is so encouraging in Central and Eastern Europe. The time there, the opportunity there seems to be now, for there's so much openness among the people. And as our Lord looked down from the cross that day, he saw that hostile world around him. But he saw something else. He saw those disciples who were there at the foot of the cross. In the midst of all this hostility, there were those who were identifying with the Christ of the cross. What a wonderful picture that gives to us. We see here particularly the mother of Jesus, and we see here particularly John, the disciple who identifies himself usually as the disciple whom Jesus loved. They were standing there, and they too stood in the hostile world. This is the point. But they were prepared to identify with their Lord and their Master. And surely the great challenge to you and I today, first and foremost, is this. If we're to talk about standing at the foot of the cross, it means that we have to be prepared to identify ourselves with our Lord, with our Saviour, in a world as it is today. Your pastor raised the question of the Eastern Orthodox Church. It's interesting, isn't it, that there was hostility in the days of communism in Central Eastern Europe, and communism in many ways had its teeth drawn, although it's still there in some ways in the background and in the thinking of many of the officials. And now comes this opposition and persecution from a religious source. You see, the battle never changes. The battlefield may be different, but the spiritual warfare and the battle is always the same. And we know that whether we're living in the UK, or whether we're in lands like Serbia, or Romania, or lands like Poland, where the Roman Catholic Church would seek to use its devices against the gospel, the warfare, the hostility, the battle is the same. And the question is whether we are prepared to identify with the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who was raised on the cross in the midst of all of that hostility. Notice that they stood there very boldly that day. This took great courage. And I believe that it was courage that was given to them from God Himself. For they knew not what was to be the end of this in reality. And the Lord, you remember, had been arrested. And now He was put to this awful death. And there they stood, boldly identifying with Him. What a challenge that is to you and I. That's what it means to begin to stand at the foot of the cross. Notice how they stood there, obviously lovingly. This was an expression of their adoration and love for their Lord and their Master, as they stood there with Him through those dark hours. Yet obviously they stood there with great perplexity. I'm sure that day there were many questions racing through their minds that were unanswered. Not having all the answers, perhaps even feeling some doubt, yet there they stood. And as the Lord looked down from the cross that day, seeing the hostile world around Him, He saw those who stood at the foot of the cross. Is that where we're standing this morning? There are many ways to the cross, but the cross is the only way to God. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's someone here this morning, and you have got to come and stand at the foot of that cross for the very first time. Maybe one of the young people here. Maybe someone here, you've heard this message of Christ's redemption through the cross for you again and again, and yet you have never come to stand and identify with this Christ as your Saviour, as the one who died there in your place, taking your punishment and answering God's righteousness for sin. But then notice what our Lord said from the cross in this passage that we read together. Jesus saw them there, verse 26. And here is the amazing thing. The very Son of God is bearing in his own body all the condemnation of God the Father, of the sin of the world upon him. You remember on that day how even the heavens were darkened. It's almost as though heaven had to hide its face from what was happening at Calvary that day. Such was the terrible condemnation that was being poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There was our Saviour in deep physical and spiritual anguish, purchasing with his precious blood redemption for you and for me. There he was, bearing the sin of the world, and we can never know the reality of that and the real truth of that. And yet, in the midst of all that, the Lord saw those who identified with him. And he speaks to them. Woman, behold your son, to his mother. And to John, John, behold your mother. What wonderful words of understanding this is. You know, when the sinner is slain by his sin and is brought to the foot of the cross, the Lord always raises him up. The Lord always sees the sinner there. The Lord always knows the heart of the sinner who is at the foot of the cross and speaks to him with compassion. The Lord is merciful to them that fear him, we read in his word. And with great provision. Here, what the Lord says speaks of great provision for those who were there, his mother and for John. Then, in this little incident, our time goes on. The problem, you see, is the clock. It's usually 2, 3, 4 hours in Eastern Europe, and we don't have to worry too much, because there's usually 2 or 3 sermons anyway in the course of a service or a meeting. But we have to be circumspect here. Notice from this little incident, we could speak about many things that the Lord accomplished that day from the cross. But see what was accomplished here in these particular verses. Our Lord was not to stay on the cross forever. And that is the wonderful thing about the Lord's table. As we go from the Lord's table, we go with a risen Saviour. His death for man's redemption was only the forerunner of his glorious resurrection and glorification. And these disciples were not simply to stay there, gazing, standing at the foot of the cross. They were to go from there to accomplish and to be for the Lord what he wanted them to be within that hostile world where he had placed them. And this is why we simply do not remain looking at a crucified Christ. This is why we don't have a crucifix to center our thoughts. For the Lord is risen. For the Lord sends us from that cross into this world, which is hostile in so many ways to him and his truth. Notice verse 27. From that hour, that disciple took Mary to his own home. I believe here is a lovely picture of what the power of that death and resurrection can accomplish for every child of God. You see, here was a new relationship that was established between these followers of Christ, between Mary and between John. And here is the miracle of the fellowship of believers who stand at the foot of the cross. Maybe this is a little of what Dr. Nick was thinking and speaking when he made that comment those years ago. I always find it amazing as we go into Eastern Europe. And our mission field of Eastern Europe has 12 languages. It has many different nationalities, not simply those who are Slavic, like the Yugoslavs or the Czechoslovakians or the Poles or the Bulgarians. It has those who are of Romanian origin, those who are Hungarian, and so on. And yet, the Lord accomplishes a very wonderful thing with those who know Him and come to His cross and identify with Him and own Him as Lord and as Saviour. It's the miracle of the body of Christ, in actual fact. When we went up there 600 miles northeast of Moscow, it was an overnight train journey of about 12 and a half hours, which was quite interesting. And there, as we pulled into the railway station in that city, that morning, at about 8 o'clock, there were believers we had never met. And they welcomed us. There was the brother whom God had used initially from that city in the south, in the Caucasus, to reach this couple and to go there and start evangelizing. And there was Anatoly. We'd never met him before. And yet that oneness and that unity in the body of Christ. You know, what amazes me about the body of Christ and about local church life is that there's so few disagreements. So few disagreements. We're so different in personality, in character. Here was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Here was John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And yet they were able to come together in a bond and a fellowship that was totally against the culture of the day, really. And yet that's what the cross did, as it brought them together. What's the point of you praying for Eastern European Christians? They're brothers and sisters in Christ, whom God has joined us together with at the foot of the cross. And they pray for us as we pray for them. And what an encouragement that is. And will you notice that John and Mary, they went in swift obedience to the words of Christ. As children of the living God, they were brought into a new relationship with each other. Because of their relationship with their Lord and Master, this was not only possible, it actually happened. And a new daily relationship was born between them. This is the great witness, you know, to the hostile world. Do you remember? The testimony of the early church was, see how they love one another. Not by talking about it, not by theorizing it, but by practically living that daily life born out of this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how, as people of God, we are to live and move. This is how the Lord, it seems, accomplishes His work, as His love flows through those whom are His, because they have come to the foot of the cross. So what does it mean for you and me to stand at the foot of the cross? It means to hear His voice. You see, they heard what the Lord said because they were at the foot of the cross. Those disciples who had run away, they didn't hear these words. Those who were indifferently there, gambling the garments, those who were focusing hostility to the Christ of the cross, they didn't hear these words. The ones who heard the words were the disciples who were standing there to identify with Him as their Lord and their Saviour. And hearing His voice, they moved in swift obedience. And from that hour, the scripture says, that disciple took her to his own home. How sad that some could not offer the worship of obedience that day, could not know the joy of obedience that day, because they were not there at the cross, and they did not hear the Master's voice. How best can we know the blessing of God upon our lives? How best can we help our brothers and sisters in Eastern Europe? Be sure to be at the foot of the cross. Be sure to be identifying with the Saviour. For it's there we see our need of Him. It's there we see the poverty of our own souls. It's there we hear His voice. It's there we're joined with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's there we understand our own need and the need of others and the need of this world in which we live. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. May God bless his word to our hearts, even this morning.